time now for the 12:15 news, brought to you by Boyd Furniture and Mattress Center in downtown Wayne City, where you get everyday low prices on Serta, Ashley, Catnapper, and Benchcraft furniture. Today's WFIW WOKZ weather forecast calls for cloudy skies with a high of 77. Tonight, cloudy with a low of 55. I'm Jeff Vaughn, reporting the news. Wayne City Schools will conduct Child Find preschool screenings for children up to 5 years old not yet enrolled in public school and who are not kindergarten eligible for 2021-2022. Screenings will be held at the Wayne City Baptist Church this Thursday and Friday from 8:30 to 2:30. Appointments must be made by calling Tisha Maxey at 895-0357. The process takes about 45 minutes and checks a child's progress in hearing, vision, speech, language, and coordination skills, giving parents a better idea of how their child is progressing before school. The program is free, and parents will receive immediate feedback. Pre-K personnel will also be on hand to explain their program and other available services in the area. More news next.
It's never too late to go back to school, and Frontier Community College is here to help. Achieve your educational goals with GED test prep classes offered in person on our campus in Fairfield or in Albion or Flora. We even offer classes online to meet the demands of your busy schedule. As always, the classes are free, and we even offer vouchers to help pay for the exams. Call Frontier Community College at 842-3711 to sign up now.
Give your home a desperately needed makeover with new flooring from Haas Interiors in Fairfield. They have name brand vinyl plank or tile flooring that is water, pet, and kid proof. Haas Interiors has Mohawk, Shaw, and many other name brands of carpeting and stock and ready to be installed by their experts. Area rugs and 13-foot vinyl flooring in the latest styles and colors are available. Open Monday through Friday 8 to 5 at night times by appointment on West Main in Fairfield.
In other news, two injuries were reported in a two-vehicle accident Friday morning about 1 mile north of Barnhill. According to county deputies, at approximately 7:50, a Mount Erie teenager was eastbound on a county road in a 2013 Chevy Malibu. She stopped at an intersection and proceeded to turn north, but due to heavy fog, she didn't see a southbound 2010 GMC Yukon, driven by 35-year-old Fairfield resident Tessa J. McCormick. The teen pulled into McCormick's path, was struck, spun, and traveled into a ditch. Wayne County EMS responded to the scene, and the teen and a passenger with her were taken to Fairfield Memorial Hospital. McCormick refused treatment. A tow truck was called, and the vehicles sustained over $1,500 damage. 54-year-old Fairfield resident Jesse L. Downen was arrested by county deputies Saturday night. He was wanted on a Wayne County warrant for aggravated battery and was held in the Wayne County Jail pending the posting of $1,520 bond. Fairfield police arrested 30-year-old Fairfield resident Jacob C. Reinard Sunday night on a Wayne County warrant for identity theft. He was held pending the posting of $1,020 bond. Several others were booked in the jail recently as well. Fairfield police arrested 34-year-old Fairfield resident Chelsea L. Smith and 25-year-old Fairfield resident Eddie D. Brooks III. Smith was wanted on a Wayne County failure to appear warrant for driving suspended, and she was held pending the posting of $595 bond. Brooks was wanted on a White County warrant for possession of a stolen vehicle and theft over $500, and a Clay County failure to appear warrant for operating an uninsured vehicle. He was held, with bond set at $5,395. 31-year-old Fairfield resident Stephen M. Thomas was arrested on a charge of disorderly conduct after placing several calls to Fairfield Police and 911 without an emergency. He was held in the jail, pending the posting of bond. County deputies arrested 57-year-old Sisney resident Brian E. Fitzhugh on a Clay County failure to appear warrant, and he was taken to the Clay County Jail. Fairfield police say they have accumulated several recovered bicycles, and anyone missing a bike should contact the department to see if it may have been recovered. The department plans to sell any unclaimed bicycles at a public auction at 10 a.m. on October 30th. Fairfield Memorial Hospital has released its weekly update on its expansion project. Last week, mechanical, plumbing, and electrical contractors continued work on in-wall and ceiling installations. Exterior windows were complete, and one elevator was almost finished. Drywall contractors were mudding and finishing on the first floor. Grade work on the west elevation was ongoing, and curbs were being installed. This week, FMH expects cabinetry installation on the third floor to be finished, and installation on the second floor to begin. It also says grading of the exterior is close to being finished, and preparation will be underway for pavement. The Fairfield City Council will meet tonight at City Hall. It will hold a public hearing to discuss property sales at 5:50, and those matters will be handled first in the official meeting. The agenda calls for a discussion on the upcoming Christmas parade and other Christmas activities. Mayor Mike Dreith says the chamber took care of the parade last year, but the Kiwanis Club traditionally handles it. He says the city and the club are discussing co-sponsoring the event moving forward.
They took a year off. They need some help. The city finds the Christmas parade to be a really positive thing. We're going to help them, I believe, on that, and that's coming up on December 4th at 5 o'clock. It's most time a lighted Christmas parade, so most of the floats and stuff are illuminated. Pretty fun. The other thing that's going on at this point is we're looking at the possibility of bringing in a portable ice skate rink. Now, that would not be on the 4th. That would be on the 16th, if I'm not mistaken, that weekend. This has happened. They've done it in Flora and Carmi, if I'm not mistaken. We're looking at an area between Brad Jessup's place and Jay Fahey's place on the road between them and the courthouse. So it's right downtown. People can come down and ice skate for the weekend. I think it'd be really unique. Libby Lingenfelder can build some sales for downtown. We can bring people down there and maybe generate some retail business.
Appearing on the Community Connection, the mayor also spoke on a possible extension for liquor sales for a Halloween party at the Elks.
Right now, after the latest adjustment of the liquor license ordinance, they would have to shut down on a Saturday night at 11:30 when it comes to the sale of alcohol. So they came to me as the liquor commissioner asking if there was a way to be able to extend that. Honestly, I personally didn't feel comfortable with making that decision on my own, even though I have the authority to do that. So I'm putting it on the city council agenda so that there's a special one-time exemption for them to be able to do this during Halloween. That, of course, will set up a precedent so that if someone has a New Year's Eve, I mean, this is not going to happen on a regular basis,
right,
but it sets a precedent so that there's council action on it.
Other items on the agenda include approving bids for completion of ADA grant work at the police department. This is homecoming week at Fairfield Community High School. Dress-up days for students begin today with formal attire day. Tomorrow is favorite character day, followed by America Thursday and Crazy Red and Black Day on Friday. Tomorrow is also Battle of the Classes, and spectators are encouraged to bring cat or dog food or cat litter to be donated to the Humane Society. The event will begin at 6:30, and, weather permitting, it will be followed by a bonfire. Appearing on Morning Coffee yesterday, Donna Reaver says the homecoming parade will begin at 2 on Friday on its normal route, and anyone wanting to have a float in it must contact her at the school by 3 p.m. Thursday.
Anybody that's got a float, wants it to be judged, they'll need to be in line by 1:30 because the judging will start at 1:30 and then the parade steps off at 2. So it's anybody that wants to join in. Yeah, okay. If you've got a horse, of course you're going to be at the back, but, we encourage anybody. They call me at the high school, 847-9402, if they want to be in it, and we'll be happy to give them a spot.
We'll have coverage of the parade Friday afternoon on 104.9 WFIW and video on WFIWradio.com, sponsored by FNB. The homecoming dance is scheduled to be held on the practice field at FCHS, and it will run from 7 to 10 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets for the semi-formal affair cost $10. Student Council President Sarah McGeehee says planning for the event started in late August or early September.
A little bit of a later start maybe because of COVID and some stuff, but we've had to make some alterations to homecoming, but I think we're super happy that we just are getting to have one at the least. It is outside, so that's a little different, but it's a good time. Everybody can get together, and we're finally going to be able to have a little bit of normalcy back.
The coronation will take place during halftime of the football game against Edwards County Friday night. Queen candidates are Valerie Dagg, Elena Koontz, and Cassidy Webb. King candidates are Connor Dagg, Blaine Milner, and Camden Robbins. The Albion Liquor Commission will meet tonight at 6. After discussion by the City Council last week, the Commission is set to consider modifying the Albion 66 Nap Mart to allow selling alcohol by the drink, enabling it to get a state video gaming license. A vote on the matter is likely. The Commission is also set to discuss the reissuance of the Bowling Alley liquor license to new owners. The Wayne County Health Department announced 32 new cases of COVID-19 from Friday through Sunday, bringing its total to 2,970. 143 people were in isolation. Most other area health departments did not issue an update due to the Columbus Day holiday, and the IDPH didn't update its numbers yesterday. Farmer sentiment declined in September in the latest Purdue University CME Group Ag Economy Barometer. Ag economist Jim Mintert has more.
The Ag Economy Barometer dropped 14 points compared to August, so it's a reading of 124 versus 138 a month earlier. And the Index of Current Conditions and the Index of Future Expectations both fell this month, and the declines were relatively significant. I think the Current Condition Index fell 12 points, and the Future Expectation Index fell, I think, 16 points. So it was pretty widely dispersed. The Farm Capital Investment Index fell 10 points, so there was weakness across the board. However, I think if you look underneath on that Farm Capital Investment Index, you know, we've been wondering for a while why we were getting some weak readings on that in the face of, you know, what the farm machinery companies and dealers are telling us is strong interest in acquiring new equipment, for example. This month, we asked a new question. We asked people if the tight farm machinery inventories was impacting their decision-making with respect to their purchase plans. And 55% of the people in the survey said, yeah, the tight machinery inventories was holding them back with respect to their purchase plans.
34% of respondents said they expected to see farm input prices rise by at least 12%, an increase from 21% in the last survey. The barometer is calculated each month from 400 U.S. ag producers responding to a telephone survey. Governor J.B. Pritzker has signed an executive order ensuring people with disabilities working for a state vendor are paid a fair wage. Kim Howard has the story.
The order requires these workers to be paid at least the minimum wage, eliminating the sub-wage pay some currently receive. The governor says this is about equality and dignity and won't hurt employees.
Already, a vast majority of our contracts, more than 80%, pay employees with disabilities at least the minimum wage. And I applaud these vendors for providing equal pay for the employees that power their businesses. Sub-minimum wages need to go away. This wage increase will not cost any employee their job. As we move forward, the state will work with its vendors to ensure that they have the tools they need to continue providing people with disabilities an opportunity to engage in meaningful work with standard pay.
The order also requires agencies to renegotiate existing contracts that aren't paying people with disabilities fairly. At the state capitol, I'm Kim Howard.
That's the news. Area deaths next.
Swing by the Fairfield Save-A-Lot and take advantage of these great deals. USDA Choice Beef Sirloin Tip Roast, $4.99 a pound. 5-pound bag of russet potatoes, $1.69. 1-pound bag of baby carrots, $1.28. And fresh cabbage, 69 cents a pound. Prices mentioned are good through Saturday. Good food, great people, great prices at your Save-A-Lot store, located on West Main.
At the end of a hospital stay, families are often faced with difficult decisions about their loved ones needing skilled rehabilitation care. Regardless of where your loved one's hospital is, the Transitional Care Rehab Program at Hamilton Memorial Hospital can help. Our skilled rehab and nursing care can provide twice-daily physical and occupational therapies, daily access to providers, and private bed and bathrooms, all right here close to your family's home. If you're faced with care decisions, ask your loved one's care planner about Hamilton Memorial Hospital Transitional Care Rehabilitation or call 643-5824.
Currently in Fairfield, it's 74. It's time now to check the latest stock market numbers brought to you by Andrew Diesel, your Edward Jones financial advisor, located at 101 East Delaware Suite A in Fairfield. The Dow was at 34,441, down 55. The NASDAQ is at 14,471, down 15. November crude oil is at $80.64. That is up 12 cents. This is Derek Dunn reporting for WFIW News.
Local and area deaths brought to you by Nails Funeral Home in Fairfield and Albion. Nails Funeral Home, locally owned and operated, serving the area with professionalism and care in your family's time of need. 94-year-old Bernard Paul Stennett died on Saturday. Bernard Stennett is survived by children Nancy and Jeffrey, three grandchildren, four great-grandchildren, one great-great-granddaughter, and several nieces and nephews. Services with military rites will be held Wednesday at 10:30 at Samaria Cemetery. Nails Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. 46-year-old Fairfield resident Kim R. Shelton died on Friday. Kim Shelton is survived by her husband Terry, parents Sally and Charles, two siblings, one niece, and several aunts, uncles, and cousins. Services will be held Thursday at 1 at Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from noon to service time. 83-year-old Fairfield resident Ben A. Klein died on Monday. Ben Klein is survived by children Keith and Carol and several nieces and nephews. Services will be held Friday at 11 at Maple Hill Cemetery. Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home is in charge of arrangements. 61-year-old Fairfield resident Joy C. Smith died on Monday. Visitation will be held today from 5 to 7 at Nails Funeral Home. Cremation will follow. 87-year-old Fairfield resident Douglas E. Baker died on Saturday. Services will be held Wednesday at 1 at Johnson and Vaughn Funeral Home. Visitation will be from 11 to service time, and burial will be in Maple Hill Cemetery. 72-year-old Marty Truster died on September 26th. Services will be held Saturday at 10 at Kirkwood Baptist Church. Inurnment will be Sunday at 2 in Big Prairie Cemetery. And a reminder, our obituaries are updated regularly at WFIWradio.com. I'm Jeff Vaughn reporting.
For happy Halloween weekends, I'm going to be a soaring thunderbird.
I'll be a real bird, the raven, flying through the woods and over the water.
I'm feeling like a pilgrim on the voyage, going over one of the world's steepest drops.
Huh, guess I'm a mind reader. I already bought our Holiday World tickets.
Wow!
Yeah!
Woo! Be whatever you want at Holiday World each weekend through October. Do a corn maze, walk through the scare B&B, and go trick-or-treating. Get tickets at HolidayWorld.com.
Are you tired of heavy menstrual cycles? There's nothing normal about heavy bleeding. What if you could undergo an office procedure to stop heavy bleeding and return to work in just days? Ask the doctors at Asbury & Associates about NovaSure Ablation. This non-invasive procedure is performed in our office, reducing the cost for our patients. NovaSure, a quick, safe, and simple procedure to correct your heavy cycles and restart your life. Asbury & Associates, with locations in Southern Illinois to serve you.
I'm Jeremy Smith, and here's your Classic Hits WFIW 104.9 forecast. Today is calling for cloudy skies through mid-morning, then gradually clearing throughout the day. The high will be around 77. Overnight tonight, partly cloudy skies with a low near 55. Tomorrow is calling for a 40% chance of showers and storms, partly sunny skies with a high of 79 and a low of 66, and a 60% chance of showers and storms on Thursday, high near 80 with a low around 63.